The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Path 7 in partnership with Advertising Week. Path 7 helps brands scale partner marketing with seamless content distribution, real-time lead data, and consistent brand experiences. Powered by partners, built for performance.
Welcome to the Business of Marketing podcast, recorded live for Advertising Week Europe. It's my absolute pleasure to welcome Joseph Warswick, VP EMEA, Global Head of Sustainability at OpenX, to the show. Hi, Joseph. How are you doing today?
Very good, thanks, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Hey, start off for 10, it would be great if you could maybe explain a little bit about your business and your role within the company.
Yeah, for sure. So OpenX, for those that aren't familiar with us, are a global omnichannel SSP. We essentially work with both the buy side and the supply side on facilitating their inventory and programmatic supply needs.
Great.
My role, well, I wear kind of two hats within the business at the moment. So the first part is I'm the VP of EMEA, and that's managing our buy development team. So that is the team that engage with brands and agencies on their supply needs. Within that, I also look after some of our global commercial relationships. And then the second part is heading up sustainability globally. And again, within that, there's probably two parts. There's internally spearheading a working group on everything we do as a corporate entity to be as sustainable as possible. And I can talk through some of that. And then the second part is very much about educating the market on what they could be doing, whether that's with their businesses or with their advertising, to essentially be more sustained.
Great. And then in terms of your business, the types of companies, types of people you're trying to reach, how you go to market, could you just give us a little bit of a flavor around that, please?
Yeah. Wow, this could take some time. I've only been at the company for, 2 years, and constantly learning. And I think one of the main reasons for that is just all the different client sets that we have as a company. So if you think about was a traditional SSP service, the supply side, working with publishers on helping monetize their inventory. As I mentioned, my team work more on the buy side. So that's working with agencies and brands on what their programmatic needs are. But DSPs are also our client. We want to service them on better understanding and how we can make their businesses grow. And then we also work with a lot of data partners to understand how we can enrich that inventory with interesting and powerful data sources to help brands reach their audiences and those publishers monetize their inventory. So I really see us sitting in the middle of the landscape and essentially working with those four different elements.
Are there any particular key partners that you work with?
We work with all the major agencies and brands across the world. I think we're integrated with over 180 DSPs. I didn't even know there was that many DSPs until I came to OpenX. And then hundreds of thousands of publishers and hundreds of data providers. I think what OpenX strives to do since I've been here and I've noticed is he's tried to do things the right way. And when I talk about partnerships, we've really tried to work with third-party entities that can assess what we're doing as a company and really validate that. So we've talked a bit about sustainability. We're one of the founding partners with AdNet Zero. Very much value that partnership and what they're striving to do for the industry. We work closely with kind of TAG on ensuring our levels of transparency are market leading. We also work with companies like Jounce, who have done loads of work across the industry to help companies eliminate MFA in the space and work on that. So, really try to work with best of breed technologies and partners for our business, but also with companies that can really help validate and verify what we're saying is true.
Yeah. On the sustainability front, I mean, that's a huge achievement. Understand that you were the first ad network to become carbon neutral, and that was obviously certified. How's that inspired some of the clients that you work with or other partners as well?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to answer this very, very truthfully, actually. I think sustainability has been around for a while outside of the advertising industry and is obviously a very important topic that us as humans need to consider. Within the industry, it kind of came about. And I think when you walk into any room, you're going to get two reactions, I tend to see. You'll have someone lean in, be very interested. A lot of that is usually driven by kind of their own personal values and what they care about, or maybe because their clients are very interested in actioning in the area. And then the second side, which you do get not just about sustainability, but any new topic that hits our industry, is you get a skeptic. And that's not a bad thing. That just means maybe in some instances, you know, they've had a bad experience when learning about the topic and maybe truly don't understand it or believe a business has brought this topic to them, or they just need to learn more. So to my point on that part of my role, I really see education as important on that side.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more we can be doing as an industry. The reason I love our industry is there's so much opportunity to innovate and test and learn and then evolve. And I do think this is a topic we'll continue to see be important to brands and businesses as legislation evolves. And the next 2 years are going to be very important for that, for brands themselves. And it will trickle down into advertising. So, that's kind of a bit of my take on it at the moment.
Yeah. Now that's great to hear. I mean, I think in the past there's been issues around greenwashing and lack of transparency and so on. So I understand why people would still be skeptical. But as part of that, you know, there's clearly a higher degree of certification, benchmarking, measurements, etc., that are in place now. So moving on slightly. It'd be interesting to know if there's any sort of standout campaigns that you've done, perhaps you've done recently, or collaborations that you maybe like to talk to.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the work we do is constantly collaborating with my team anyway, the agencies and the brands on what they're trying to deliver for their businesses. So that could be, you know, at its simplest form, really trying to understand the inventory and supply they're running on, and really try to increase the quality or the premiumness, if that's a word.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll go that way. Of what they're buying on behalf of their brands.
Yeah.
Again, how do we use data to do that? I think is really, really important. So that's kind of one area. The second part, again, building on the data piece, is there's some really interesting data in the market that you can use to reach the right audience. And how do we bring that into people's supply strategies or curation strategies, if we use that word. So they're just a couple of examples. But to my point is, how do we collaborate with the businesses? How do we get the publisher, the DSP, the data partner to work together to help us deliver the business needs and the outcomes that a client wants?
Yeah. And then in terms of finding, I guess, your audience and growing your business, how do you go about building awareness and trust within the category? I think you've talked to it to a certain extent there by, you know, talking to the fact that advertisers are looking for premium content, but it would be great if you could expand on this a little bit more.
Yeah. So when I came into OpenX, one, I was straight away blown away by the caliber of the people. But the second thing that really impressed me was the decision process around, like, business decisions. And I truly believe a lot of the stuff that OpenX has done, they've done it because it's the right thing. And this isn't me kind of on my soapbox here. I've seen, like, the inner workings of why did we lean into sustainability. With regards to premium, you know, over 5 years ago, we stopped onboarding resellers as a business and have made it kind of a number one business priority to have direct connections with publishers, so advertisers can be sure they're getting as direct access to inventory as possible. The work we've done with MFA is, I think, market leading. So yeah, in the last couple of years, we've managed to completely eradicate MFA from our exchange. And whenever you see, again, public reports on it, we always rank extremely, extremely well there. So again, how do we use this insight intelligently to give assurances to buyers that they're buying what they want and it's of the best quality possible?
Yeah. And just for the audience, in case people don't know the term MFA,
sorry,
would you like to just explain what MFA is, please?
Yeah, I mean, MFA also is a little bit subjective, but essentially it's made for advertising. So it's websites that have been intentionally created from a purely monetization purposes. And there's a bunch of techniques that are done very intelligently to do this, and especially with the growth of AI to do this at scale. So you have to be really on top of it to ensure that you're picking up on these data signals to ensure that we're removing that from our exchange. And what you want to do for buyers is make it really easy to action that. So we have, by default, all MFA excluded from any inventory packages that we build for our buyers. And then it's their decision if they want to maybe look at it and accept some of it. But again, how do we build and create solutions that really tackle problems? And again, I think that's a good example of what we've done there.
On the open, there's obviously a proliferation of AI generated content at this point in time. So within your tech, you have the ability to monitor, to understand AI content versus human generated content. That's kind of interesting. So would you like to just tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So commercial hat on, maybe a disclaimer, I'm not in product. So there's way smarter people that can truly explain how this works. But to the first point I mentioned is work with partners that do this in the industry and use that data. And then secondly, our traffic quality team, whenever we're onboarding a new supply source, we do kind of rigorous checks at a human level as well as at an automated level to assess the quality and categorize that before onboarding it. And then in real time, we have our own technology that's constantly scraping through the whole exchange to look for specific signals that look like trends that this could be MFA content.
Yeah, cool. Obviously, you know, talking to your part of your strength, which is obviously the commercial side, be really interested to understand a little bit more around the structure of your team and the alignment in terms of go-to-market.
Yeah, so the commercial team that I look at, well, there's kind of two. So the first is the sales team, the buyer development sales team. So they work with agencies and brands on understanding their briefs and what they want to deliver. Then we have an account management team that also kind of looks after the activity once it's running. And then we have a deal operations team that's kind of your technical team that stand behind the scenes and really help on any troubleshooting or just growth opportunities with regards to optimizing that supply. Then behind that, we have, which I think is one of the most interesting teams, not to take it away from the commercial, is our solutions team. So think about these as people that can come in and work on specific challenges and maybe put together bespoke solutions to tackle that. And that can kind of be given to an agency or a brand to own, or you know, we could take that solution and start to roll that out at scale, and it kind of more becomes a product than a solution. And then behind that we have, I mean, our engineering org, probably about 200 people. So yeah, we can tap into that whenever we need.
But yeah. And I would imagine that within marketing and sales, that there's a large level of alignment between those teams and your business. Do you have a CRO as an example that might bride over that, or yeah, how those functions kind of interconnected?
Yeah, so we do have a CRO. His name's Matt. He's awesome. Shout out to Matt. And then yes, our marketing function does align very closely with our commercial org. But again, back to the different client sets we have. We have agencies and brands, we have DSPs, we have pubs and data partners. We need to pivot our positioning for each so that it's relevant and tailored to them. So I think it's ever more important for a complex business like us that our marketing team and our commercial org are super aligned.
Yeah,
from that perspective.
And yeah, in terms of that, and thinking about your team, what kind of culture are you trying to have built within the business?
That's a really good question. So I've been lucky enough to work with some phenomenal commercial leaders throughout my career. I mentioned when we were chatting, I started out at Unanimous, Yeah. Shout out to anyone that worked there. I truly think that was, you know, one of the best sales teams from a learning capacity. And as someone that was green and brand new into the industry, I started as a grad. I've seen some of those people go on to lead some of the biggest advertising technology companies in our industry. I then went on and worked at MIQ for over a decade. That story speaks for itself. Phenomenal company. But I always remember one of the things the co-founders, Lee and G, would say is like, look after your people and then your people will look after your clients.
Very
cool. And they lived and breathed that. And I've always tried to take that into any form of work I've done. And this is why I'm really enjoying OpenNet is, again, the people, very smart, but they really care about each other. And I'll give an example. We were just at a commercial offsite in Nashville last week. It's probably why I look a little bit tired. Jet lag, that is. And, you know, we spent a day and a half of content, which was amazing. And it was very top line down to, you know, here are some tools and solutions you can take away. And then we done one of the most phenomenal corporate company bonding experiences I've ever done, actually. So we had a local charity come in, and then we were split into 15 groups, and we basically had to build bikes, and those bikes were going to be donated to local families that this charity supported, and for their kids. And from a bonding perspective as a team, every person I spoke to walked away just so pumped. Because the content is one thing that's great. You know, you want to believe in the product and the people. But to know that the company's invested in flying you to a city and spend a quarter of the time doing that for a local community is phenomenal. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to our people and team that organized that. And I think our CRO was heavily, and CEO, heavily involved. So, yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that, you know, part of that's obviously problem-solving exercise, you know, built by before. And
it was very fun.
And collaboration and working with one another, which is great. And then what a brilliant helper as well.
Yeah, the bonding. I mean, every time I've walked away from these offsites, I've built relationships with teams in other countries that I wouldn't have had. And then we'd go on to kind of work together in some fashion. Yeah. And I always learn. Hopefully they learn something from me in some instances. And then you take that example to the next one and use that as a showcase to demonstrate why it's so important to build relationships across.
And in terms of team building, when you're in a position where you're looking to recruit and you're hiring and, you know, taking people through an interview process, are there particular attributes that you look for?
Yeah, so I'm a big component of, you can learn a lot of stuff about our industry, but you can't learn the attitude to want to learn and care. So if you go and speak to a client and you try and just sell them a product you've been taught to sell, probably not going to do very well, right? But if you go in and be intrigued and want to learn about their business and then bring that back to our company and those relationships you've made, have conversations about what can we do to solve that challenge. And then when you put a proposition in front of them, truly care about that delivering and following up, that for me goes like miles further than, you know, you can have someone that's technically amazing, but I don't think that can be taught as much.
Yeah, so you're not necessarily looking for people who've come through a traditional career progression through the advertising industry. Curiosity, I think, is what you're talking to, and the just pure enthusiasm.
Yeah, and valuing relationships and learning together, failing together, and then moving on. I think one of the things I try to tell my team is, I like a failure. I'd prefer you to hold your hands up and say that didn't work, or I'm going to try something different. I try and say fail fast and
yep.
Try not to do it a few times. You know, learn the first time, maybe the second. But I think I personally in my career learned way more from failure than through my successes. I'm the kind of person that will go to sleep at night thinking about the 2, 3, 4, 5, 10% that I could have done better that day than that's rated me quite highly there, but maybe the 60, 70% that's gone well.
Yeah.
And then try and adopt a different plan or a different strategy to pivot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, people have been drilled maybe since day one, you know, to be scared of failure. But I agree, you fell fast or fell hard. You understand and you learn from that. That is so much more valuable than any other experience. I've certainly been through that myself a number of times in the past.
Yeah, I think whether personally or professionally, it builds layers to your personality.
Yeah.
As both someone in your company, but outside, that makes you a better person.
Yeah.
I had some silly saying I used to say when I was at university. It was something like, you don't learn from what you haven't done. You learn from what you have done, whether it's good or bad.
Brilliant.
And you just got to put yourself in those situations and you'll figure it out. Like, don't be scared of failure. Just go for it. Yes. Best thing I got given is advice.
And then in terms of sort of measurement, you know, how do you measure success? What's the barometer?
Well, I work in sales, so it's normally numbers.
Yeah.
On a quarterly basis. I think I always say, you know, you're only as good as your last quarter, but you hear these things. Actually, I had a great boss in the US when I spent 4 years living out there, kind of launching our West Coast business at my previous company. And I got obsessed with this concept of lead and lag measures. And essentially, a lag measure is a result. So it's like, at the end of the quarter, did I hit my number? You don't know that until the quarter is over. That is a look back measurement. The thing that I can control is my lead measures. So, you know, how many meetings am I having? How many briefs am I getting? You know, what's my win rate? You know, what products are selling, etc. So I can control those lead measures. And the second part of this is cheesy. My wife would probably kill me for saying this, is this saying of control your controllables. I can't control the end result once it's done, but I can control everything leading up to that result. So I always say to my team, like, can you control this? If not, don't worry about it. Well, let's move on. But let's focus on the things you can control. And in most instances, that is lead measures,
yep,
which you have control of.
In terms of trends, you know, is there, you know, something that's particularly exciting you at this point in time? You know, shifts, things that are going on, you know, directions that are starting to emerge?
Yeah, so I moved to OpenX because I wanted to get closer to the supply side of the industry. I always thought at the previous companies I was at that there is a lot of data and insight that sits there that brands would really value if they could utilize appropriately. And I think we've only seen that exponentially grow when we think of topics like curation, which has come up a lot recently, maybe falls into that buzzword category. Maybe some people haven't been talking about or articulating curation properly. So for me, the areas of curation that are really interesting are probably one is again, how do you use data,
yeah,
to really understand if that is the right supplier that services your needs? And then the second part, and this kind of falls more into the SPO bracket, is the way I'm buying that inventory the right way for me. So it could be the same site, but on a different device, so I need a different strategy. In a different area, I could use a different strategy. So they're two areas. So that for me falls under curation. And I think, you know, you see a lot of the speakers here and a lot of the talk in the industry is heavily shaped towards that. So yeah, to summarize, there is a ton of value on the supply side. And the closer we can bring buyers to that, the more interesting things that we can do. And then the second part, which is a build on top of it, is I cannot say it, it's AI, right? So, you know, we work in technology. You know, for me, I don't think AI is a new thing. I think it's evolving very quickly and its user cases are becoming super practical and very accessible. But when we think about, you know, the plethora of data available and what we can be doing with it and how we can automate workflows and how we can rely on machines rather than humans in some aspects,
yep,
from a reliability and a scale perspective, then it can really tackle some of the challenges that I've talked about when we talk about premium, we talk about quality, transparency, et cetera. So yeah, those combining those two worlds for us as a business is super important. And I'm excited to see and continue to see the outcomes we can deliver for clients there.
Yeah. And then in terms of advice that you might give to a younger person who's looking to, you know, enter the industry, maybe you've got a son or a daughter, or, you know, a friend does, and so on, and they're curious, they're looking at the advertising industry. What advice would you provide to them?
I don't have a little daughter. She's going to be 2 this summer. I would say, I think one of the things I've always been told by, you know, mentors of mine, leaders, is be curious. And I talked a bit about that earlier. The second is try and work across as broad a spectrum of the industry as possible, and find out what part of it excites you and where you think you can drive value, and focus on there. This is one of my, actually a little bit of a development advice I got from my uncle, actually. And when I was looking at, sorry, I'm going completely off script.
No, it's great. It's great. It's fine.
So when I was assessing different jobs before coming to OpenX, there were, my uncle made me write down 3 lists. And he said, well, first list is what you're good at, irrelevant of if you like it or not. Give me a list of things you're good at. The second is tell me a list of things you like and are passionate about. And then the third list is what is there outside of your work environment, factors that are important to you, that if they were part of your work environment would be an extra like 2, 3, 4x in happiness, right? And it was an exercise in kind of trying to find opportunities that tick those 3 boxes. And, you know, I'm at a company which I get to deploy the skills that I've deployed for the last almost 2 decades, which is crazy. I'm focused on an industry and an area which I love, which is technology and people. And the company's culture really works around where I am in my life with a young daughter, from that perspective as well.
Great. And then, you know, lastly, how do you keep yourself curious and motivated?
I like to be out in market as much as possible. So I've seen people in my career get senior and get internal, and you lose perspective. Our industry moves incredibly quickly, and everyone has their own opinion. And being out in market, asking questions, being curious and learning, it is key for that. And I think the best way to do that is to be out. And that could be, you know, I talk to my friends at competitors, you know, what's going on there. I talk to all of our clients as much as possible. I talk to people outside of our direct industry to see what they think of our industry. I've got friends that work in finance and they're very interested about our industry and like what's their lens on it and what insights do they have. So yeah, try and be as curious as possible and ask as many questions as possible. But put yourself in the environment to do that.
Yeah. Wow. Look, thank you so much.
I've really enjoyed it.
Very much enjoyed the conversation with you, and I wish you a fantastic advertising week.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Heather, mate.
You're welcome.
The Business of Marketing podcast was brought to you by Path 7, powered by partners, built for performance.